Now, I want to lift out an incident that's in this 17th chapter here. It's quite a remarkable instance, and it concerns the children of Joseph. And that means Ephraim and Manasseh, and of course Ephraim in particular here. Will you notice this? And the children of Joseph spoke unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I'm a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? Now they're complaining that they haven't been given a very large portion. And very frankly, they weren't given but about half of what Manasseh was given, the brother. And they were not given near as much as the tribe of Judah was given, or Simeon. And they were a great people, a great number of them, you see. Now, Joshua belonged to that tribe, by the way. And they come and they felt like, well, since Joshua's our man, why, he'll certainly take care of us. But it doesn't look like Joshua did that. And friends, if you travel up through that country, you find out it's very hilly. They call it mountainous and rugged. It's as rugged a country as I've ever traveled through anywhere. And this was what now was given to the tribe of Ephraim. And we find here, verse 15, And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Will you notice two things? First is that if you traveled in that country today, there's no wood. Those hills are about as bare as they are in California. That is in Southern California. There's no trees there. What happened? Well, the enemies that came into that country down through the centuries absolutely denuded the hills of trees. As you know, there's a great campaign in Israel today to plant trees in that country. When I was over there, I planted 5 trees. I planted one for myself, one for my wife, one for my daughter, one for the church I served, and one for a Jewish friend. I planted 5 trees over there because trees will grow there. That land was covered with them. And in Christ's day, why, the Mount of Olives was covered with trees. If it was just that little clump of trees that's there today, why, they wouldn't have had any trouble finding where he camped out with his followers. But you must remember that it was a regular jungle or forest that they went into in order to find him. And that was the reason that Judas went along to point out the place, as we've seen before. Now, I think that Joshua gives to his own tribe, the tribe of Ephraim, a very noble reply. He says, now, if you don't like what you've been given, well, you get up there in that area where the land hasn't been taken. And you must remember that it was said way back over in chapter 13 that there was much land. God said to Joshua, Thou art old and stricken in years. There remaineth yet very much land to be taken. It wasn't possessed. And now he says, get up there, and if you want more territory, you go after it. There's so many Christians today complain about their lot and about the situation that they occupy in life. They feel like, I want to do more for God. I want to do this. I want to do the other thing. Well, my friend, why don't you lay hold of these spiritual possessions? Paul again says, blessed with all spiritual possessions. That's you, Christian friend. Now, verse 16, And the children of Joseph said, The hill's not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. You see, they've got an excuse why they're not going and getting the land. Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, hast great power. Thou shalt not have only one lot. Only? There's more land for you. But the mountain shall be thine for its wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, though they be strong. Now, Joshua gives a noble reply here. He says, Ephraim, you don't like what you got? Complaining? All right, get up there and lay hold of it. But remember, there are giants in the land. You'll have to work. You'll have to fight. It's going to cost you something. And the reason today that there's so many Christians that are so beggarly. In fact, the matter is, that's the problem in our churches today. And that's the problem of a great many preachers today. I heard the story years ago of a great preacher in New York City. And he was taking a vacation up in northern New York, in the northern part of the state. He was in a little country town. On Sunday, he went to church that morning. And there was a young preacher there. And lo and behold, a young preacher was preaching one of his published sermons. And he was almost giving it verbatim. And when the young man came out after the sermon, shaking hands at the door, while this preacher went by from New York, the famous preacher, and he shook hands with him and he said, "Young man, I enjoyed that sermon today. How long did it take you to prepare it?" And the young man said, "Oh, it didn't take me about 3 hours." And this man says, "That's strange. It took me 8 hours. You see, friends, if you're going to lay hold of spiritual blessings, you're really going to have to work at it. A young man that I had in class many years ago, he went out into the active ministry. He was in a place about 3 years. And he came down to see me, and it was a distress call. He said, "I'm in trouble." I didn't know what it was. And when he came in, he said, "You know, Dr. McGee, I'm all preached out. I haven't anything else to preach. I don't know what to do. Been in the place 3 years." I said to him, "How much time do you spend in the study each day?" "Well," he said, "I don't spend very much time. I wouldn't be able to tell you, but it's not very much." I said, "How much time do you spend preparing a sermon?" "Oh," he said, "maybe an hour." I said, "Just an hour?" "Yes." Well, I said to him, "That's the reason that you run out. That's the reason you're through." He said then to me, "How long do you spend preparing a message? And you've been at it now for some time." And I said, "Yes." I said, "Some of it's actually a review. But," I said, "I never preach a sermon that I don't spend 8 hours, and some of them I've spent as much as 20 hours. Now, it may not look like it when you listen to them, but that's the time that I spent in getting up." My friend, I want to say to you today that if you're going to lay hold of spiritual possessions, as Joshua said to Ephraim, you don't like what you got, you run out of sermons, you can't go any longer, and you're drawing from somebody else, then for goodness sakes, move out and lay hold of these great spiritual blessings that are yours. But remember, there's an enemy there. There are giants in the land. Satan will trip you if he can. And it's going to require hard work. There's no explanation for that. I had a professor in school. One fellow came in one day. He was complaining about a book that we had to read, outside reading. And he says, "Doctor, it's as dry as dust." And the professor said, "Well, dampen it with a little of the sweat of your brow. That'll make it come alive." May I say to you, this is a great argument for hard work, by the way. Joshua says to his own tribe, Ephraim, "Don't come around me complaining. You go up there and get it. The land's there for you, but you're going to have to work at it." I think this is a marvelous thing here. This is the way you're to do it. You're going to have to drive them out. God will not arbitrarily give you the land. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall stand upon, that's yours," God says. Isn't this a marvelous thing? Oh, today, how many of us are so poor spiritually? Why? We just didn't get up and walk and tread on the land, friends. We didn't lay hold of spiritual blessings.